Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that sound. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggly.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dallas, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey, what it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
Yo, just forget about it.
How does Versace on me make me feel like Medusa? Hop in the coupe with no key, man, I hope I don't lose ya. Look like she ride on the dick with no hands like a scooter. But I gotta get to this money, babe, I cannot choose ya. How does Versace on me make me feel like Medusa? Hey, hop in the coupe with no key, man, I hope I don't lose ya. Hey, look like she ride on that dick with no hands like a scooter. But I gotta get to this money, babe, I cannot choose. The fuck do you need? Gotta stay focused, can't fuck with these niggas and bitches, man. I got a stack of this green. Niggas be talking like they really solid, but don't even know what the fuck that shit means. Niggas be snitching and roaming, I don't understand how the fuck you a rap with no cheese. That's why y'all don't even listen when all of these fake niggas tell me that I'm on their team. They always asking for bombing instead with these fuck niggas won't even give me a scream. Rap is what I put my heart in, I'm ballin' James Harden way back in 2018. No, I don't bang in them, not in that game, but little niggas just know that that's stick in my jeans. Bought a new semi and I didn't pick a low. My cannon special, it come with a beast. Act like a movie, your bitch like a groupie. I pull out that Uzi and I make a scene. Shot in her stomach, it won't be no running. I promise I'm gon' have her coming with cream. Hot on that dick, she be working. That big booty twerking, that pussy, I think I'm a fiend. I put this dick in the spleen, pussy look like Chrissy Cream. Hot as Versace, y'all make me feel like Medusa. Hop in the coupe with no key, man, I hope I don't lose ya. Look like she ride on the dick with no hands like a scooter. But I gotta get to this money, baby, I cannot choose ya. How does Versace on me make me feel like Medusa? Hop in the coupe with no key, man, I hope I don't lose ya. Look like she ride on that dick with no hands like a scooter. But I gotta get to this money, baby, I cannot choose ya.
What it is, what it do, this your man, King Eric the Media Assassin, you're now tuning in to episode 503 of Off the Cuff Radio, and this show is sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Jesse's Boutique, Da Vinci Clothing, Fleetwood and the Cotton Picker, Screwball Radio, Core Financial. I got my host T-Match with the Facts on the line. What's good, my brother?
What's going on, man? Peace and God bless to the universe. It is another fresh episode of OTC for your Friday night, getting it right. And once again, man, we're 503, and we still, you know, doing our thing, you know, moving strong, you know. So, I mean, King, you know, go ahead and, like, introduce everybody to our guest tonight.
Steph, man. I mean, man here, he reached out to me last month, letting us know that he appreciates what he does and, you know, to show him some love. And he's a very humble cat, too, man. He come from our neck of the woods, Henderson, North Carolina. He got a nice little following, nice movement going on. I like that the energy that he's bringing to the game. And he's here with us tonight representing Henderson, North Carolina, to talk about his current moves, his background, his story, who inspired him. Let's all welcome Young D to the show, man. Welcome to 503, brother.
Yep.
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for having me, everybody. How y'all doing?
We good, man. Great to have you on with us. Thank you for coming on.
Definitely, definitely.
Definitely, man. So, I mean, like King said, you know, obviously you got a little bit of energy, you know what I'm saying, getting the song set, you know, for the summertime, you know, with the heat to the streets on the beat. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started, your inspirations, everything, man. We got a little time. Let's get it.
For sure. I got you. I'll start from the beginning. So, really the thing that made me, like, really do music was, like, when I was growing up, just seeing my situation and just seeing where I was at, it was kind of like my dreams was always bigger than my pockets type of thing. So, like, when I started making music, it was kind of like a channel for all of that stress and whatnot. And then, you know, after that, once I actually started getting good with it and it went from a hobby to a passion, that's when I started actually putting bread into it and actually started trying to, like, pitch it to people and go places with it. But honestly, my inspiration off the top is my mama, for real. My mom and my pops, man. Yeah, they really are instrumental in, like, the process of music. Like, growing up as a kid, you don't really notice the sacrifices, but when you get older, it hits you like a truck. So I definitely got some A1 parents, and they really is where all that inspiration and motivation come from. And honestly, I've been rapping professionally for, I'd say, 3 years, but as a hobby, I've been doing it since I was 12. And the only reason I say 3 years is because from 2019 to now, that's when I've been in a position to actually put money towards my passion and whatnot. And not just rap just to rap, but actually build on the foundation and try to make something out of it. And also, I'm in the military as well, so that kind of helped me with my music budget too, you know, because I wanted to go to college at first, but, you know, I didn't have my eye on the ball coming into high school, so my GPA wasn't where I wanted to be at type shit, so I really couldn't just go out and apply for a bunch of scholarships. Plus, with the situation at home, and I didn't want to put myself in debt, and if I knew I couldn't pay it, it would have went straight to my parents. So I was like, I'm just going to do something where they ain't got to worry about me yet. And just like I said in my last interview, like, I make a whole lot of different variety of songs. You know, I do anything from R&B to hardcore trap, but I tell everybody the same thing. Not in the game, never have been, never will be. But I definitely preach about keeping an eye on me, because it's a crazy world. I just don't want nobody to get it mixed up with carrying a gun with gang violence. Two different things. Now, I protect myself, but you'll never see me waving no flag. That's one thing about me. I could do battle by myself. I don't need no type of set. I ain't dying over no colors. At the end of the day, I don't want my mama worrying about where I'm at and whatnot. That's exactly why I joined the military. But when it comes to music, my main type of, my go-to people that I listen to and, like, my type of inspiration for rap is, like, rappers like Lil Baby, Lil TJ, even Pop Smoke, his beats be tough, too. A lot of rappers like that. Like, that's really, I'm more of a, like, a new age hip-hop type of flow, because I use, like, auto-tune as well. I don't overdo it, though, but, like, just enough to where you can hear exactly what I'm saying and not mumble rapping type thing.
That's dope, man.
Yeah, and
I
just want to build on this key portion of the military. And see, military, it has its positives, because it teaches you that discipline. It gives you that discipline on getting your goals done. That ever play on to
definitely. For sure. Yeah, definitely the long nights, man, because I know when you're in basic, they have you waking up at 5 in the morning. I wasn't used to that, you know, growing up. So that really shows you a whole different side of the coin, you know. It shows you can either stay in the house, and, you know, stay with your parents the whole time, or you can go out and get it on your own. You might lose a couple hours of sleep, but it's going to make all the difference in your bank account. So it really was a growing up process, too, man. And I'm grateful that I joined. It definitely taught me a whole lot.
That's what it is, man. In terms of that level of commitment, like King said, the discipline that's instilled. And most importantly, man, your parents, God bless them both, you know, who supported you, you know, because especially in hip-hop music and keeping it real, especially for us black men out there, especially for the babies, you know, coming up, you know, when a lot of them, when music is really their thing, you know, a lot of parents will tell their kids, you know, well, you know, do something more conventional, something more stable, something more certain. So not many, you know, youngins like yourself coming into the game are blessed to have that level of support from your parents to, you know, encourage you to follow your dream. Because one thing about it, I will tell anybody, if there's a difference between a fleeting interest and a passion pursuit. And when something is your passion, you just can't relinquish that chase. You got to go get it. And it always helps when you have people who share the same vision as you do to really support you in that journey. A lot of people really don't understand what it really, really means. You know, just like with Off the Cuff Radio, man, shout out and, you know, much appreciation and love to all the people, you know, over the years. You know, I mean, we're 503 shows, man, and it's like there are so many people that have helped us along the way, you know, helping us get to this point. We couldn't do it without the support of people who believed in us.
Definitely.
One thing you said, Young, that really strikes a chord is the gang element. You're obviously a student of the game. Definitely articulate yourself in such a professional fashion about, you know, your vision, how you roll with it. When you look at the hip-hop scene right now in terms of where we've talked to so many guests, you know, in the past about it, with the gang element becoming really, really prevalent on the scene, what do you think a lot of heads really have to understand about that street life and putting certain things out there into the universe that probably necessarily shouldn't necessarily be said in terms of what you may bring to you?
Honestly, I look at, like, what you say, like, you know, the power of life and death lies in the tongue. So I look at
Amen.
Every action Amen. Has an equal and opposite reaction. So, like, if you portraying yourself out to be a thug or a gangster, better make sure you live that life, because you're going to attract people that really do live that life. And they always going to expose you if you know who you say you are. So that's why when it came to music, if I know it's going to be something I'm going to be doing for my whole life, or at least for a majority of my life until I realize, okay, maybe this ain't what I need, it don't put me to where I need to be, then I'm going to make sure I'm doing it as honest as I can, because I don't want nobody coming to try to check me over nothing, because everything that I say is going to be facts. You can fact check it, you can Google it. I want everything I say to be pure and from the soul. When it comes to games and stuff, like, I feel like the new generation, they really got the whole, like, diction of games that's completely mixed up. When games first came out, it was only two, Bloods and Crips. And they weren't fighting each other. They weren't killing each other. They was protecting black people against police. I wish it would go back to times like that instead of just people killing over a flag. That's really why I distanced myself from it, too, because I got respect from my family to a point where I'm not worried about the gang members getting me, but I know how grimy niggas is. I know if they can't get me, who they're going to get to next. So that's why I keep my hands clean and all that shit. Because I'm in a position
Absolutely.
Now, I'm not just thinking about myself. I got to think about the well-being of the people that I love. Because I don't hide the people that I love. They in public with me, too. So if I'm making enemies, that's another reason why I can't really hang with gangbangers either. I ain't got no problem with the life they live. That's what you want to do. Do you. But I can't associate with you because that means all of your ops is not going to be my ops. And I'm not about to be looking over my shoulder because you got a problem with somebody when I don't. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We totally agree, man, because that's what's missing with a lot of today's dialogue is people don't show what really happens. Like, we see this situation going on with Young Thug and Gunna and all these guys. They don't see what the end role happened if you live that sort of lifestyle.
Facts.
And it's real.
Yeah,
we showed it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead now. Finish your thought. Go ahead, please.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say they always show like the money and the chains and the women, but they never show like the sacrifices you put into it. They never show the grimy stuff that go down behind closed doors. They only show you enough to make you want to actually be a part of their life. So once you get in, once it's up there, it's stuck there. But once you see the dirty shit, it's gonna be too late. Cause now you're stuck in there. They know where your mama live at. They know where your daddy live at. So if you try to get out, you gotta jump your whole family out, and half of them will be in the box. That's why I just can't do it. But that, honestly, gang members are stabbing your back before family do, for real.
And we've seen situations, you know, shout out, of course, you know, to Sean Sotero, who wrote Dummy Boy, the story of 6ix9ine, you know, and how that whole system, those that haven't read it, yes, on Off the Cuff Radio, we're going to shamelessly promote that book. You know, shout out to Sean, really good guy, you know, Complex Magazine, but, you know, but Sean wrote in his book about when the heat got turned on with 6ix9ine, you know, when everything really started getting hot in terms of what was happening with Shotty, you know, Newt, all those guys, Mel Murder, you know, once it really started blazing, you know, 6ix9ine, you know, he found out that that life wasn't for him. And one thing about it, D, is always, you know, refreshing is that, speaking to you, you let your music speak for itself in terms of the talent that you have, and you're not using anything negative or, you know, seamy to be a catapult or to co-sign your credibility. When you really started to take this seriously in terms of really getting your style down and everything, what was it like in terms of really understanding your flow cadence, subject matter, really putting it all together in song form, and then ultimately hitting the studio to put all of that on track? Take us through that journey.
Honestly, to find my sound, it really took me a minute, because I wanted to reinvent myself. At the same time, you know, you can't, you still got to be in the same like general type of genre. Like, it can't be so different that they don't even realize they're listening to a rap song no more. So, like, you still got to give them the culture, but not necessarily give them the, like, explicit, like, straight-up gang street lore that you always hear in other songs. Not saying those songs are bad, but when you're trying to separate yourself, you really don't want to have the same sound that you can go listen to somebody else have, because that kind of takes away, one, from your value, your net worth, and your credibility. You know, it's kind of like, well, if Michael Jordan already came out with Jordans, then why would I make the same shoe? You know what I'm saying? Like, I might be signed under Nike still, but I'm going to want a different brand to stand out. Because at the end of the day, you know, your network is your network. So you really want to stand out amongst everything else that's being dropped. Because if not, you're just going to blend in with the mesh. You're really never going to have your own platform. So, honestly, when I first started out, it was rough. Like, I used to start out beating on tables in high school, middle school, just rapping. I never really got into the singing aspect until, like, late into, like, me actually making music. Honestly, I only recently started doing it, and I, like, mix and master all of my music. I got my own studio in my house. That's another reason why I do my own sound, too, because a lot of the time I feel like I still, like, take lessons from engineers. Shout out to my boy Jamal back in North Carolina. He taught me a lot on Logic Pro X and Pro Tools. But when it comes to mixing, like, I feel like I can hear it better than some other people can. So, like, if I try to explain something, they might not catch it like I would. So that's why I like to mix my own music. But mainly, like, the melodical part came, like, literally when I first started. Like, I started doing heavy R&B, and then it started to transition back into that hip-hop trap style that I do now. So it really was just a long process like that, just training myself, getting more comfortable on the mic. Because sometimes the way you rap around people and the way you rap when you're by yourself is two completely different sounds. So if you can get comfortable no matter where you're at on that mic, that's all you got to do, for real.
Yeah, and I like when you listen to your music, I like how you was able to go back and forth between those styles. Like, you, Tory Lanez, and a few of those other guys, a few other cats that's currently out in the current market, y'all actually balance that real well.
I appreciate that.
But it's not easy.
Yeah. No, it isn't. And for you, D, to speak on with the humility of it in terms of understanding, you know, what it takes to really get good at craft. You get some artists to come in and say, you know, well, they were great at this from the beginning and they already had it figured out. One thing about it, especially from being a student of the culture like we all are, you know, King and myself are older, so we've really seen a lot of these over the years, how hip-hop has developed in so many different ways. We talk to so many artists, and this is something that it takes time to do. And when you see a lot of artists come out, you know, who are dope and who are not dope, you see the ones that actually took the time to get their shit polished and really, really present something that is really palatable to the ears. And even those that may have not been so great from the beginning, you saw that they kept working, working, and working, and you saw the improvement, improvement, improvement. Even if incremental, it ultimately came to something incredible because they dedicated themselves to it, understood what it took to get there, and also were humble and took advice in terms of how to improve. I think with some artists, they got to understand, when criticism comes, it's not to cut you down. Criticism, constructive criticism is not the same as someone trying to inject you with a venom of haterade. Haterade is when motherfuckers just don't want to see you win regardless of nothing you do they're ever going to like or support. Fuck them. You know. But those people that really, really, really are trying to help you and, you know, share your vision, and those, more importantly, who have been where you're trying to get to, they're going to give you pointers in terms of how to make your shit, you know, for all of his crazy ass shit. And I've said some shit about him on this show with Kanye. Kanye, when he is locked in, is a focused monster with his music, you know. And when Kanye tells you certain things about how to really, really look for certain things, musically, the man's ear is unbelievable in terms of beat making. Doesn't mean I like everything he's done. But in terms of some of the stuff he has done, I will say this on Off the Cuff, Dark Twisted Fantasy, between that and College Dropout, my favorite two Kanye albums. With Dark Twisted Fantasy, he went to another level of music that was just unbelievable. He took hip-hop to another place that I was like, wow.
But if Kanye gives that album.
Yeah, but I'll tell anybody, Kanye can give you some advice about, you know, about how to, you know, how to tweak stuff in terms of the rhymes, or, you know, how you, you know, drop your treble, raise the bass, maybe have your faders in and out, how you get an echo effect. Or, I mean, if you're taking basketball, you know, tutoring from Michael Jordan, you know, if you're taking shooting lessons from Ray Allen or Stephen Curry, are you really going to say those guys don't know what they're doing when they give you advice of what to do right and what not to do?
Now, I feel that for real, man. That's why I always say pride is one of the biggest killer of relationships and connections. Like, if you're going to, especially with music, if you're going to this industry thinking you the hardest out, you're going to get your feelings hurt quick as shit. Because 9 times out of 10, there's always going to be an OG that tell you that you some shit. But trust me, the fact that he talking to you means that you're better than what you think, but he trying to get you the way you need to be. So, like, I always try to take everything with a grain of salt. It actually took me until I got into the military. I learned this when I was in the military. It's a difference between attacking your work ethic and attacking your character. If they're attacking your work ethic, then listen to them. Because if they don't know you from a grain of salt, they ain't got no reason to hate on you. They're just trying to help you out. But if you let your pride get in the middle of that, that's a lesson you didn't learn. You blocking your blessings. You know what I mean?
That's wisdom. That's wisdom, man. And people got to understand, there is things that you can learn. You know, when you look at the hip-hop scene in terms of, obviously, of which you are part of and the culture that you are participating in and actively repping and honoring the culture with what you do, with a lot of these artists coming in today, musically, image-wise, what do you feel the scene is like today?
Honestly, as far as what I've seen, like, honestly, I'm more of a, what's the word, an introverted type of person. Like, I don't really go out as much as I should. But honestly, as far as the rap culture, I look at a lot of artists that made it, and I have a lot of questions. Like, you can really tell the difference between artists that made it off of talent and artists that made it off of network ability. Because, people don't even have, the way I look at it is, you don't even have to have talent no more. You just have to be able to know who your audience is and push to those specific people. Because if you can do that, your music can be, honestly, your music can be garbage. Only thing you need is a steady beat and you good. I see a whole lot of rappers out here making it, and 100,000 views, million views, and their music ain't really that good. They just know how to the network. They just know how to push their music and market. Marketing, honestly, music is a lot like stocks and bonds. Like, if you know how to market and if you know how to place your music into the right hands with the right people at the right labels, or even just bloggers, your music will go crazy. And it won't even have to be that good, because at the end of the day, it's truly not about what you know. It's about who you know.
That's facts. Good
power
friend of
networking
mine.
Yeah. Power of networking, that play a key role, because networking could eventually become your bank account. It could become your way of wealth. And I think that's what's overlooked in a lot of ways too, man, because there's a lot of talented individuals, but they don't really know how to articulate and carry themselves in a manner where people want to rock with them. The attitude throws them off. You ain't Michael Jackson fresh off Thriller. You fresh off the block. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People think all you got to do is rap, but it's so much more to hip-hop than just rap. I'm telling you. Like, if you really dived into a major artist and their schedule and what it looked like, rapping would probably be the block with the smallest amount of time on it. Because studio time is only a small chunk of what they got to do. They got to do radio interviews. They probably got to do press release junkets. They probably got to do some type of PR with like fans, like signing albums, signing books like authors do. Like, there's so much small stuff that they don't even talk about that they got to do. That's if they even do it, what they should do. But it's so much more to, just like a car, it's so much more to a car than just driving it. Like, all the little things added the big things over a long period of time.
Definitely. It's an accumulation of the process that ultimately, while it doesn't necessarily perfect it, it helps bring about a certain presentation, you know, because if you don't have all of your ducks in a row, this is what a lot of artists have to understand in terms of, you know, conducting yourself in a way that is professional at all times and understanding that this is a job. And sometimes some artists don't understand that, you know, especially, and the game has changed so much, King and D, because when we look at it now, we're just going to have to, you know, be raw with it. You know, corporate radio pretty much is what it is now. You know, back in the day, you had radio stations that were independent, you know, independently owned. The DJs had an opportunity where they could break shit in terms of records that were organically found in terms of an audience. Either the people liked it or they didn't. Obviously now, with it being corporate, Clear Channel, iHeart, you know, we're just going, it's not like we're saying anything that's a secret. Everybody knows this. A lot of these radio stations are owned by corporations who work directly with the radio stations. And this is how the music gets put out there. But even when now, and I said all that to say also, too, but even from the business aspect, the money that kicks in of it, a friend of mine, I won't say who it is, it's a very good friend of mine, me and him had a conversation a while back, and he was telling me it takes about $200,000 to get a song on the radio in terms of all the channels you have to go through in terms of promotion and everything, just to, you know, get it out there, in terms of everything that's the promotion between YouTube, getting it to the radio station through corporate, you know, through the corporations, everything, you know.
Definitely.
And it's not necessarily, like you said, be about it necessarily being good. It's about who you're networking with. When you look at how has social media, you think, as an artist, how do you think that it has played into the game now in terms of artists, in terms of their image and their music presentation?
Oh, man, social media is everything now. From I look at it as your reputation, you know, you really got to police every single thing that you post. Because if you big enough to where people look up to you as a leader or as a role model, and if you post something that's contrary to what you're already putting out, you just ruined your career by a click of a button. So social media is one of the best and the worst things, not only to happen to pop culture, but to music in general. Because now people can destroy themselves just like that. Look at Will Smith. You know, he was one of the best actors. He probably was about to get an Oscar that night. I think he did get an Oscar that night just to be banned for 10 years and probably, yeah, and just to get banned for 10 years and can't even come back to the award show because he let somebody switch him out of his position and get him out of his character. Like, you really got to be careful what you post, but also that's the bad side. But the good side about social media is now if you're good with networking, if you're good with posting and being consistent with your media, and if it's actually marketable media that people actually find enjoyable and you get a good amount of views, then, I mean, you really don't need a label, per se, at the moment, because you can blow all by yourself if you know how to catch people's attention. And if you're good with, like, doing campaigns and actually, you know, buying, not so much as buying views, but buying campaigns, running campaigns on your Instagram story, because that's how you get views, that's how you get clicks, that's how you get follows, that's how you get comments, that's how you get a bunch of feedback on your page is by actually putting bread into it. So, like, social media is a good way to put yourself out there, but if you got to make sure you're upholding that reputation that you're setting, because if you don't, it's going to backfire. So it's kind of, you know, it's going to seesaw with it, back and forth.
Yeah, you know, one thing you said, when you said about what you put out there in terms of, because also, too, your personal social media pages are one thing, but it's also about what you're doing when you're in the media in terms of when you're doing interviews. one thing that came to my head, and we talked about earlier, is the situation that happened with Young Thug, you know, a couple of years ago when George Floyd, rest in peace, you know, that situation happened, and he was at an award show, and one of the reporters asked him, you know, does he feel that it's important for artists to speak up on social issues? And, you know, he just said no. But the way he said no was just, like, so dismissive. Yeah, exactly. It was very callously dismissive. It's like he didn't even care. Then he's like, no, you know, we out here shining. And it's like, you know, it's like he didn't have a fight. Go ahead, King. What were we saying?
I was saying, I bet he wish he had it
for
now.
Yeah. And, you know, but the fact is that, and some people will try to say, well, you know, artists should stay an artist. Well, no. I think, or, you know, like, whatchamacallit, I think Laura Ingraham, when she tried to tell LeBron, you know, just shut up and dribble playing ball. No. The fact is that I think it's commendable when somebody in a, with somebody in a position of power or celebrity takes it upon themselves to speak out. Now, this is a caveat because I've always applauded those, of course, shout out to, you know, Jim Brown, Muhammad Ali, you know, Bill Russell, you know, so many others, you know, Deontay Wilder, you know, who talked about the plight of, you know, what is infamous to this day, you know, everything, all the things that black people deal with. You know, those that actually were asked a question about the plight of our people in this country and the world and have never shied away and were passionate in, you know, expressing those sentiments. You know, but the caveat is that, too, for those that don't, there's a difference between being actively and astutely politically and socially conscious and then just not knowing jack shit about what you're saying. And we don't need people out there who are just trying to pontificate on a bunch of artificial nothing. You know, if you're going to speak, but know what you're saying when you speak about it. And that's the most important thing.
Definitely.
Yeah, you got to line up.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, for sure.
Yeah, you got to definitely line it up. Because you can tell when people are doing that. They only doing that for a bag or because they records no longer selling. All of a sudden, they jump on the acting wave.
Yeah. Look at Soulja Boy. He none of his songs here. The only thing he doing is just trying to stay relevant.
I'm glad somebody said it besides me, damn it.
That's living proof. That's about your marketability, man. If you can sell yourself outside the studio, you can still make a living.
Well, and
gotta
I said
use
my,
your image.
Yeah, and we said our stuff about Soulja Boy on the air as well, but I think with Soulja, the thing is that I will never hate on his success for what he did because he found a way that really, really works for him. And I'm never going to chump any black man or any man or woman, no matter their color, for really doing it in terms of honest and getting it. If we look at his music, he found a lane for that time that he did it. But the reality is if we're going to all be objective in our lens of opinion, is that it was a good for the time for that Atlanta, for that mid 2000 Atlanta snap rap movement that was going. It was great for the time, but the problem was it was just something that was for the moment. It wasn't something that was going to have momentum going through. And like you said, D, it's like he's in that place now where musically it's changed, and he hasn't quite understood that he's not part of that movement anymore. Everything else has gone along. A lot of those other acts that came along during that time, they're not there. Where do you think a lot of artists need to understand in terms of having what we call in show business the second act, in terms of preparing outside of music what to do next in terms of all other endeavors?
Oh, yeah, I feel like you should always have a plan B. Your plan B should have a plan B. Like, never put yourself in a position to have to look for handouts if your plan A don't work. Like, that's why I joined the military. Like, don't get me wrong. I want to be in a position where my music career can supply itself financially. But I'm not just going to be out here living with my mama making music expecting a miracle to come in the mail one day. Like, you really got to put in work to see results. Like, don't get me wrong. I love the military. It's cool. But I'd be lying if I said it was my passion. I joined to help my parents and also, put myself in a better position to be able to do more things later down the road that I wouldn't be able to do if I was in my current situation. But having military in my back pocket, it just gives me so many more options than just being a rapper, I get, free education is a big one. So I can literally go to school for anything if music doesn't work, and I'll still be good, get paid to go to college. So it's kind of like you got to make sure that even if you think you're the hottest rapper breathing, always have a plan B. Because sometimes I look at it like this, what's for you is for you. So no matter how strongly you feel about something, if it's not for you, it's just not going to happen. But that don't mean to give up on life in general. That just means to keep pushing, because if I'm not going to get all religious on you, whatever you believe in, it's your right to believe in it. But I believe that if something's not working for you and you truly tried everything that you could, sometimes the higher power is trying to pull you away from something to put you closer to something else. You know what I'm saying? So you got to pay attention to the signs, because if you see it's not working, there's no need to put all your energy into that one thing when you could be doing something else that could benefit you so much more.
Definitely, definitely. As you continue on this journey, who would you like to work with as you continue your career?
Oh, man. So recently, he blew up maybe early 2020, I want to say, this rapper, and that one song been everywhere. His name is Murray. He's from Fayetteville, North Carolina, or Murray, Maury. I might be mispronouncing his name, but shout out Maury. That man, he got some vocals on him. I would love to do a song with him. He actually did a song with J. Cole on J. Cole's breakout album, and the song was fire. So I think Maury would be one. I definitely got to do a song with Lil Baby once I get up there and get my name bigger. Lil Baby, definitely got to do something with Roddy Ricch. Definitely got to do something with Gunna. Well, free Gunna if he ever get out of prison. But,
we'll see how that trial goes next year.
Maybe I can send him a verse in the mail or something. definitely got to do a verse with those guys, though. And, I mean, there's plenty of people I want to do a verse with. But off the top of my head, I really can I think that's pretty much all off the top of my head that I want to do a verse with. Honestly, Tory Lanez, like if I was to do an R&B song, Tory Lanez or like Chris Brown with a hook on there, it'd be over with. That'd be a nice song right there.
That's an automatic.
What are some of your interests
right
outside
there?
Of music? Definitely. What's some of your interests outside of music?
Outside of music? Mm-hmm. You know, as far as the military, you know, I'm a firefighter in the Air Force, and actually I love that job. So being a firefighter, really, because it puts you in so many other smaller positions when you're doing that job, especially in the military, because you start out, you know, as a trainee, and then you move up into leadership positions. So it lets you see the way your job works from different perspectives. So now instead of being the person handed the assignments, now you're seeing how these assignments are constructed. So it actually gives you a whole lot of insight on what it means to be a leader. So I like that part about my job. You're never just doing one thing. So honestly, outside interest would definitely be, you know, my job itself. It would be going to school. I always wanted to go to school for criminal justice, honestly. Because at first, I was going to be a lawyer or something like that. Or just do anything. Just apply myself to a plethora of things. Because I just wanted to be in a position to where I knew that if I wanted to put my mom in the house, I wouldn't have no problem doing that. So anything that can get me bread, for real, it don't matter to me.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, I mean, that's something important. Where it's always, yeah. Yeah, and it's dope,
man. That's
really
part of the
build.
I
want
to ask you,
too,
man, about the single that you shoot, man, Medusa. What was your inspiration behind creating that?
Honestly, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm rich as hell, because I'm not. But I like to make songs like that because I think of it in third person. If it's not what I am now, it's what I want to be at in the future. So if I'm not dripping iced out right now, I'm definitely going to be like that in the future. So that's kind of how I rap as well, because no rapper ever came into the game already having it. Like, you got to start from the bottom somewhere. So I look at it like, 5 years from now, I will look back on this song and say, I did that shit. You know what I mean? Like, I might not have it now, but I'm going to get it type thing. So my main inspiration behind this song was, you know, it might take a long time, but I'm going to get there. Because I promise you, persistency and consistency will always be talent. Because you can be the best basketball player in the world, but if you never go to the gym, you're going to be riding the bench real soon. Hard work beats talent when talent don't work hard.
That's true. And it's about tenacity in terms of understanding that at certain levels, your talent ability may not necessarily be what everybody else is in, but not everybody else understands the talent they have to work hard to maximize it. While those, it's like when you got players, you know, and he'll probably come for us if he hears this, but it's all journalism. It's like with Patrick Beverley. You know, Beverley is not the offensive force in terms of being a player in the NBA, but he's that dog on the court who's going to do what he has to do to help his team win. He can be obnoxious as hell. We're not trolling him because we've seen it and everybody knows it. But you respect him from the passion that he gives on the court in terms of what he does. And then you have guys like Jordan, you know, LeBron, Kobe, you know, Curry, Clay, you know, who all you know by one name. And what they did was they had talent that they had, and they worked on it, and they kept working and working to become great at what they did. You know, it's about understanding that to be good at something is one thing, but it's to have the motivation of fine-tuning and honing your craft that's going to separate the good from the great, and then ultimately the cream that rises to the top of all-time legendary. That is what it's all about.
Facts.
Definitely. So in terms of
definitely,
you doing
man,
the
you,
music...
Now, I was going to ask you too, man. Yeah, I forgot to ask you too. Mm-hmm. Now, tell us about the video you got coming in July. Are you shooting something for that?
Oh, yes, sir. So that video coming in July, that's going to get shot on the 22nd. And the reason why I'm doing this video is because this video is really going to set the tone for, like, my videos for the rest of the year and for the years to come. This song actually... So let me tell you the story behind Medusa. So at first I dropped it as a single before I dropped my Aggravated Pain album. And I ain't gonna lie, I wasn't doing as good as I thought it was gonna do. So I was like, nah, I know this song is harder than this. So I took it off and I dropped it with my album a couple weeks later. I think it was actually the very next month. And my album didn't do as good as I thought it was gonna do initially either. And it, I ain't gonna lie, it put me in my bag a little bit. I was like, damn, what's going on? So like, as days go on, I never checked the numbers though. So that's why I messed up there. I just assumed, because my Instagram wasn't jumping like I thought it was going to be, that it wasn't doing good on streaming services like Spotify, Apple Music, what have you. So one day, something told me to check it. So I checked my shit, and it said I got almost 50,000 streams on my Aggravated Pain album. And the Medusa song itself has the most streams out of all of them. Like, literally, if I was out of every other song, it'd probably be 10 to 15,000, and the rest were all on their other single, Medusa. So I was like, wow. If y'all like this song this much, y'all definitely getting a video of this shit. I put a post on Instagram. I said, I don't know who y'all is, but I appreciate y'all listening to my music. But I'm telling you, the biggest fans of people you never even know about.
How important is it to stay consistent in interacting with your fans, and even when, you know, you think things may be down, to keep moving forward, to get up with it?
Oh, it's so important, because if your fans, if you're really trying to put on a persona that you actually are an ambitious, you know, a hard-going type of person, and in the face of adversity, if you were to just shut down and quit, and what's that telling your fans? And God forbid if you try to come back into the game after you had their moment. Ain't nobody going to invest in you no more. Ain't nobody going to really listen to your music. They're going to be like, well, this nigga only put out one single a year. I mean, what's that to listen to? You know? And I feel like if you're not consistent, then nobody really going to know, like, who you are, because that's really how most of these streaming services work. The more you drop, the more likely your music is to pop up on, you know, bigger playlists and, you know, at the top of a headline and, like, SEO, search engine optimization. Nobody gonna know who you are if you don't stay consistent, because you're just not gonna be found. And if you are inactive on there, they're gonna push your account down in a way. So like, that's why it's important to kind of know like how apps work and how algorithms work, because it plays a role into how often you get seen as well. So staying consistent, staying on top of your shit. Even if you're not doing good with your music, post that shit. Don't post the music, but be like, damn, but I'm having writer's block. Do something. Let your fans know that you're still in the studio trying to make music. Don't ever, you know, be at a point where you're just not posting anything, because a dead account ain't going to get you nothing. At least people still being like, all right. He just getting it together. He in there cooking. You know, you got to be able to sell yourself even when ain't nothing to sell. You got to fake it till you make it sometimes. In my opinion, at least.
It's always about doing work. Yeah.
That's how you gotta move it, man. Because it's an uphill battle to climb. Because there be some days where, even with us, we be like, dang, man, we just feel like maybe we should pull a Vlad or pull a Adam 22 or, you know, maybe we should bark out like Academics. But I'm like, man, look, it ain't even worth it at the end, because I don't want to have no security when I walk outside. I want to be able to go to my mailbox in peace.
Facts.
Yeah, there's one particular situation. King is gonna laugh. Yeah, King is gonna laugh. We're not gonna talk about the situation in detail, but King's gonna laugh, you know, crazy, because he knows exactly what I'm talking about when you hear people, where you may not always see people, but they're hearing. We had a guest on the show who spoke on some things that were personal about a major legendary figure, and that one of the people who we interviewed as well, you know, that legendary figure heard our show. He was like, he liked the show. It's just that particular person who was on the show who has some stuff to say, he was like, y'all need to take that down.
Oh, shit.
He's going to tell you about that off air. He'll tell you about that off air. But when we got that call, we were like, yes, sir.
Definitely.
Yeah, so we didn't want to stir up any bad blood,
man.
Yeah.
But at least it tells me that we're doing something right.
Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah, and once you get yourself out there in a good way, like King said, you know, this was his vision when he started off with Tough Radio. We're going to be wild, we're going to be crazy, but we're also going to be respectful, and to the best of our journalistic ability, we're going to be as correct and as, you know, respectful and accurate as we can in terms of disseminating facts, in terms of creating relevant dialogue that is essential to the culture. With you, D, in terms of what you're doing with the music, down the line, would you think about doing a major deal with a label, or would you rather stay independent and really, you know, kind of guide that ship in the waters of the way you see fit?
Honestly, it depends. Because I would want to understand what it means to sign and what it truly means to be independent more before I come to that conclusion. Because I keep hearing so many different things. Like, honestly, I've heard great things about signing, and I've heard terrible things about signing. I've heard that when you sign, you not only sell your soul, but them chains and all this shit that they give you, if you don't make that money back, then they're going to take it back. And it's just like you just taking out a car loan. And now you owe these people money that's for the rest of your life. So, honestly, it really depends on the statistics, because a lot of these corporations that sign artists, they're only giving artists like not even half of what they make. Like when it comes to concerts, when it comes to streams, I'll be hearing about contracts people sign, and they're only probably getting less than 10%. And I'm just thinking, damn, that's crazy. That's outrageous. And it's kind of like they really screwing over these rappers, where if they was to build their own label from the ground up, and hopefully they wouldn't follow the footsteps of their predecessors, then, you know, maybe they can make more, and then maybe they can help other artists come up. But, I mean, it's a dog-eat-dog world. So, honestly, like I said, I probably have to get more information on both of those before I make a decision, because right now I wouldn't even know what to do if somebody was to offer me a contract.
Yeah, and one thing about it, too, man, is people have to understand, you know, this is the thing about it with independence and being with a major. A major gives you the outlets in terms of financial resources and media resources. But when you do get that advance money, it's a loan, you know, that you end up having to pay back. Now, on Off the Cuff Radio, we're never going to tell no man or no woman how to handle their business and their career. We're an advocate of doing what is best for you. You know, and the thing about being an independent artist is great. The caveat to being an independent artist is this. You already have to have a following that is substantial to really, really, really make money in it. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting that alley-oop from somebody financially if a big corporation wants to get behind you. But if you've already got music moving in the streets that people really, really gravitate to where you really don't need that quote-unquote backing because you already have it, then that's great too. This is the thing about entrepreneurship that people have to understand. And this is sometimes the misnomer about entrepreneurship, that it's all sexy in terms of you calling your own shots. It is about calling your own shots, but it ain't always sexy. You know, because this is something, when you are running your own business, you are 100% responsible for what goes right and what goes wrong if you make the wrong decision. And it takes a level of discipline, understanding, prescience, you know, which means you're doing things with the foundation of how it is going to help you in the long run. You know, you're not necessarily, it's not something that happens right then, but it's something that sets the, for what's going to come down the line, that is going to be the perfect complement for how it helps you down the line. But it's also something, too, where people have to understand that it's about knowing that in the game of independence, that it is about really finding your own way. And that can be hard, navigating yourself through those waters.
Right.
You know, that's why I would tell anybody, get a good team behind you. You know, don't try to do it all yourself. And get professionals don't have your crew in there that don't know what they're doing. Get professional people. Get a lawyer. Get a good manager. Get a good accountant. Get a studio team together. Get people you know you trust and work with, and they understand what you're trying to do. That is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
You're going to do it independent, have a network of people you already familiar with, and they're familiar with you.
Absolutely, man. Definitely. And, you know, we got about five more minutes to spare, man. Do you have any shout-outs you want to give out? And feel free to let people know where to follow you and check you.
Oh, definitely. First and foremost, I want to shout-out to my moms. Shout-out to my pops. Shout-out my family, my sister, my brothers. Shout-out my brother, Eazy-E. My boy make music, Eazy Paper Chains to Dunston. Shout-out to my boy back in North Carolina that do all of my music. Well, he helped me, like, with mixing Angel Man that I mentioned earlier. Shout-out to all the North Carolina rappers. Shout-out my boy Nashawn with high school, with that boy he be rapping. Shout-out Mindset, that's his rap name. Shout-out all the DMV rappers, too. Shout-out Aiden A. This is a girl I got a single coming out with soon in September. Shout-out to her. Shout-out to all my fans, everybody that's listening to my music. I appreciate y'all. And if y'all want to follow me on Instagram at @D_young_D, THE_YUNG_D. And I appreciate y'all.
We appreciate you so much, man. You're welcome back anytime, and thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Y'all be blessed.
You too. Be blessed, man. Thank you again.
Appreciate the bill, man. So on that note, we about to sign up out of here. Catch us same time next Friday night. Same bat time, same bat chatter. When we out, man.
Peace, y'all. One out.